This podcast is about sex and sexuality, so please only listen if you are an adult without kids or other ears around that cannot or do not consent to sensitive language and content. Thanks.
I want to be the topic of a penthouse letter.
Hello and welcome to What Excites Us. My name is Gwen Isaacs. I am a certified sex coach and educator, and I have been helping folks feel better about sex and sexuality since 2017. Today's episode is a tell-all, one of my favorite kinds of episodes. I am chatting with my friend Blue. Blue identifies as a heterosexual cis man. He is married and has a child. They have been in a monogamous relationship since they have been together, and we talk about all sorts of things, including what he wants most, his sexual practices, how he enjoys pornography, exhibitionism, all sorts of fun things. It is a lovely conversation and so much fun, and if you'd like to hear more of it, or similar things to it, please come visit me at my website, whatexcitesus.com. In the meantime, enjoy this conversation. Well, thank you so much for coming on and doing this. I love doing these kinds of tell-all episodes. I think they're super fun. And my interest in doing them is by sharing things that many people enjoy that some people have shame about. Basically to say, everybody's normal, that normal is a dumb word. And and that whatever you like, guaranteed somebody else likes it. And so by basically having examples, you are an example.
I am an example.
How does that feel?
It feels enjoyable.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. Can you tell me a little bit about who you are sexually and how you got to that place?
Who am I sexually?
What do you like?
Yeah, what do I like? I think very much if I look back at my sex life in terms of my lifespan, I'm pretty much a serial monogamist. And I don't know that that's fully by choice or by sort of implicitly accepted gender roles, right? And the expectations that boys are boys and boys are with girls. And like, I did not ever grow up questioning my own sexuality. I'm very heterosexual. And I think that that's really interesting to not ever grow up questioning it. Yeah, but I would say that for the most part, I'm a serial monogamist, and that's not always my choice, right? I think that personally, I think that I'm married. I'm in a long-term relationship. I've been with my partner for 13 years and I haven't been with other people in that time. And a lifetime is a really long time. So if I think of being with one sexual partner for, we'll say, the next 40 years, so a total of 50 years, that's both very, it's daunting in a lot of ways. It's daunting from maybe an optimistic perspective, but it's also daunting from a very limiting perspective in some regards.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I want to circle back to the never questioned your sexuality. So if you were to question it today, you would come down to heterosexual?
Yes.
Like, just, okay. So like Kinsey scale, you would be the six.
Or five, right?
Yeah.
And like, I've kissed men. I've played around. I've explored, but more situational than attraction driven, experience driven than attraction driven, I would say.
Okay.
Right. So yeah. There's an experiential aspect to sexual encounters.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's good to hear that you've experienced it and tried it and said, meh, it's not for me.
Yeah, it's not energizing in the same way that sexual intercourse with females is really like energy building.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Right. Well, I think that sexual energy just in and of itself, right? Like with the male body, it's very energy building, right? Like male female touch for my body is extremely energizing and stimulating, I think, by the nature of it, but also just by the way that the male body reacts to touch.
Sure. Although, it's not across the board. There are certainly people who feel drained by it, which is fascinating. Because, I mean, it makes sense, right? If the variety of humans is a vast spectrum, there's going to
Yeah,
be
it does
somebody
make
in every
sense.
place. But yeah, you are more common than not.
Yeah, and I tend to be, I think, more physical, right? I'm a hugger. I like a firm handshake, right?
You are
I
an
think,
embodied person.
yeah, physical closeness is okay.
Yeah, but also you are one of the people that actually resides in your body, where,
Yeah.
there are a lot of us who are much more like, oh, right, there's this thing that I
Yeah, I'm pretty grounded in my body.
drag around. Yeah, I mean, you're an athlete and other sorts of things like that, so that makes
Yeah.
sense. You mentioned energizing. Do you get a physical sensation with touch?
I can. And I think some of that depends on the person's energy as well, right? Like if it's somebody that I'm sort of vibing with and they like, even if they just like put their hand on my arm or like a gentle touch like that can really be invigorating. And also, I think grounding in the moment of time as well, right? It very much is touch is something that is here and now.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Did you get a lot of messages around sex growing up? Was your family very conservative or very liberal or anything?
It was almost it's a lot unspoken, I would say, right? I'm in my late 40s now, so very much a child of the 80s. Being 11 or 12, my mom gave me basically like gave me a copy of Our Bodies Ourselves, handed it to me and was like, "Here you go." That was the whole talk, right? Like,
Okay.
and I mean, I think that that's my mind and that's where I've been, and that's also sort of how from that parenting style, right? Like I think that that's how I've always found information as well. Like I've always been a seeker of information. Yeah. But I would say dad had his penthouse and Playboy magazines around in the house. Like as we were young, they were at the bottom of the magazine rack and got hidden as we became older and older. But that very much like pictographic, like 1980s pornography was also part of my childhood. And then sort of things like penthouse letters and forums. So really something that I found as a teen was that that was really stimulating, even more so than like, you look at the pictures and they're stimulating, but it's not the same dream world narrative that reading a story can create. And
Yeah.
I think for a young person, then sort of feeling like you're part of that experience or whatever, very fantastic.
Yeah. I was also a fan of the letters.
Yeah.
Although they were ridiculous.
In hindsight, when 100%, right? And written by the editorial board or whatever, right? Like,
Yeah. But as a
yeah.
12-year-old, holy mackerel.
Yeah, you're like, wow,
Good
being an adult
stuff.
is cool.
Get ice cream if you want it, and you get to read this stuff. Oh, maybe I'll get to even do that stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
We could
Fun.
all hope and dream, right?
That's right. Is your relationship with your wife sexually satisfying?
There are aspects of it that are really, really sexually satisfying, and then at times, no. Our sex now, 13 years into our relationship, I think our sex now is better than it's ever been. And I think that's very mutual. I think that for me, the frequency isn't quite enough. I think that there's a meaningful connection. And when we do make love, it's beautiful. It's sex, it's passionate, it's like fiery. There's some of that animalistic stuff in there, but it's ultimately loving and connecting and like reaffirming of our relationship. And for me, something I've noticed in our relationship very much is that my wife, my partner, feels sexually connected or feels sexually open and willing when we're more emotionally connected. And for me, the physical part of the relationship really helps feed the emotional connection so that if I were really all twisted up and we were to have like passionate sex, I'm going to be better able to emotionally connect after that. Whereas Insider needs that emotional connection on the front end. Which I mean is a really interesting relationship dynamic to learn and to even start to become aware of it. It's not that I know how to use that information yet. It's a growing edge, right?
And it's not unusual. That's not standard, but
Well,
more
sequencing of
standard than when you'd be surprised.
I mean, sequencing of libidos has been interesting, right? And in our growing and developing sexuality, something that's been helpful has really been trying to find ways to, like, for me to get off and for her to participate or be involved or observe and not necessarily feel pressured to have sex with me or, maybe it's a tickle or a light touch or maybe she helps or whatever that comfort level or energy is for the day. But for me, also not to feel sort of either that I have to repress myself or run and hide and jerk off somewhere, So there's also an energizing aspect of being able to share some of that in the relationship.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's a nice way that you're able to come to it. A lot of folks really struggle with that,
Yeah. And
with
it's,
both sides of that, right? The woman not feeling like pressured and you not wanting to run
oh, and
away.
it's not a perfect science,
No, it's an
right? Like,
art.
yeah, and it is constant communication, right? I think that this gets touched on in a lot of your program, right? Where it all comes down to communication and whether or not it's communicating what you need in sex or using sex as a way to sort of start to figure out how to communicate with your partner. I think that there's a reciprocal and cyclical relationship there, hopefully. And if people's sex is getting healthier, like the thing in my relationship I look at as an indication is that like our sex seems to get better. And I don't know that was my framework for long-term relationships until I was in this relationship. A lot of times in relationships, so I've had like 4 3 4 year relationships before this, like in numbers of them. There always seems to be a plateau place or like a place where the sexual energy just kind of like hits its peak and it doesn't necessarily grow and develop beyond that. And this relationship is very different.
That's a blessing. And
Yeah.
also a lot of work. Like, it's clear that you are both doing the work to do that.
Yeah, there's a
I mean,
lot there.
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in people's lives to be able to have healthy sex.
It's yes.
Right? And it's two people being honest with themselves and unpacking that stuff for themselves, but then also trying to step into that space together for your emotional vulnerability and like really good sex.
Yeah, when I've worked with couples, it's like I frame it this way, we have three distinct relationships happening. You know, there's you and you, and then there's the relationship, which takes on its own personality, set of desires, set of requirements, communication style. So, yeah, being able to be honest with each other and upfront with each other and talking about things as they come up or when it's appropriate, because I know that you have children, so like, you know, it's not always appropriate.
Yeah.
And then also taking into account each other's like lives, because there's everything that happens outside of the bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough balance as you get aged, right? And have kids and energy. And I think finding that time for a good, solid, nice afternoon fuck is hard. And energy-wise, right? Like being passionate late in the evening, I don't think is where our peak energy flow is, right? Like it's great when we can roll around in the bedroom in the middle of the day and have time and space for that, but that time and space can be years between, it seems.
But knowing that about yourselves and not putting the pressure on, like it's 8 o'clock, the kids finally in bed, I'm exhausted. Oh, we need to get it on now. Like, that's frustrating. Frequently when I tell people what I do for a living, they ask for a hot sex tip. So what I say, not really knowing them or any of their situations, is that most sexual issues can be helped with more and better conversation, or lube, or both. Now, conversation is really on you, although I can help you if you'd like me to. I do that as a coach. But when it comes to lube, there are two brands that I always reach for first. Uberlube is my go-to silicone lube. It's pure, it's not full of any unnecessary additives that make it smell, taste, or feel unlike you, me. It comes in a beautiful glass bottle that I'm happy to have on my nightstand, and it's great in most situations. However, if you prefer a water-based lube or have some other intimate needs, I recommend Good Clean Love. They have a variety of great products to help everything in the bedroom go smoothly. They've got some vaginal care kits, some cleaning solutions, oils and candles. It's really great. Now, you can find an affiliate link for these at the podcast's website, whatexcitesus.com. And to be clear, you do help me out when you buy through these links, but I specifically reached out to these companies because I truly love their products and I believe in what they're doing. So help yourself, help me, help these lovely companies, and get better sex with better lube. Go visit the links for Uberlube and Good Clean Love at whatexcitesus.com. Do you have multiple types? Do you guys enjoy the quickie as well as the long luxurious as well as the like hot and dirty?
We tend to be more patterned and longer. I think that my wife's body takes longer to warm up, so sort of taking that into account, just in natural cycles and foreplay, and some being able to tie things like massage in is always helpful. But the the quickie is something we should approach a little bit more, I think, because it works well, and is well received. If that makes sense. There's, I think, that also aging female bodies, lubrication, lube, moisture, spontaneity can feel like it's impeded at times, but there's something that's exciting about the quickie that can help.
Well, and there's a whole lot of science that we're just starting to really figure out about bodies. In general, I recommend to every human on the planet should read Emily Nagoski's Come As You Are. It is such an amazing book. And it talks about genital non-concordance, like if you're watching something that's disturbing, but your body is like, oh, that's sexy. And you're like, wait, no, that's not sexy. What's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with you. Your body is just a body. And then things like everybody has brakes and everybody has accelerators, and sometimes the brakes are on too hard to even if you're flooring it to the max. Some people just cannot cope if there are dishes in the sink, and that's okay. These are things that are important to know. But the piece that I was getting to was that sometimes we don't know that we're excited until we are physically stimulated. So with men, a lot of times, this is very generalization. With men, a lot of times you can think something, you get hard, you're good to go. Boom, bada bing. With women, a lot of times, and there are men who are like this as well, it's like, well, maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Let me see. Try stroking me for a little while and I'll let you know in 10 minutes. And that's totally, absolutely normal and regular. And I'm glad that you figured that out with your wife without it becoming this huge, This is where I end up seeing a lot of clients. Like, well, he never bothers to touch me first.
Well, we've also been together for 13 years, right? So I'm saying right now, and I'm saying we're at a time right now where we're having some of the best sex, right? So it's not that it's been that way for that whole 13 years. We very much have gone through ebbs and flows and tides. But I think it's at a healthier place right now.
Yeah, but part of that is your willingness to experiment in those realities, that you are not stuck in a place and she is not stuck in a place where it's like, that's the way it worked and that's all we're going to do. And that you're communicating, it all goes back to the communication. Lube doesn't hurt, but it really, really, really goes back to communication, like hands down all the time. Just talk to each other. And so it's nice that you have that, even if it feels daunting to think about it for the next 50 years. I think that if you're doing this well now, that it's just gonna continue to grow.
Hopefully. And there's places where I'm not totally honest.
Right. So let's talk about
Yeah.
that. So you've been experimenting with some exhibitionism.
Yes. Yeah, and it's really energizing. And I'm sort of at a place where I don't know what to do with that yet. I think it's energizing, and it's obviously, exhibitionism is something that wants to be shared, right? Right. Like,
By the very nature of it.
but also sort of trying to gently broach that in ways that honor the relationship that I'm currently in, right?
And to be clear, just to make sure that all the listeners know, you're not going out and flashing people randomly on the street. You're doing this in ways that are safe and consensual.
Yes.
Just want anybody to be like, who could be concerned, to not be concerned.
I do not own a trench coat. I swear.
No, you're not going to go streaking across a
No.
baseball field anytime soon.
Well, maybe. But that would just be for the 5150.
Right.
Free meals.
They're not as good from what I understand. Oh my God. I've actually been trying to decide whether or not I want to get a trench coat, but obviously not for streaking or
Not.
exhibitionism reasons, but because I need a professional jacket. And other people seem to have them. I don't know. Maybe it'll work. Okay. And now back to our regularly scheduled podcast.
I think that maybe giving it like some context of like how or where or why, right? Really, I think for me in having libidos that totally aren't sequenced, right? Like I obviously maybe not obviously, but I masturbate quite a bit and have also watched pornography. I like things that seem more granular or like real or gritty or not like the polished, like where I feel like I'm in a studio or I don't like plastic porn. I like porn that feels human, that feels like there's a connection between the actors or people on screen. And I've also found that I really enjoy JOI, so jerk off instruction. It's been a way that like feels really safe, interactive. And from there, really, really got into like edging for a while and like really playing with that and sort of going deep and really I think controlling my own orgasm and ejaculation, and then trying to separate the two to some degree, right? So trying to gain the capacity to have orgasms without ejaculation, sort of really like also prolong the sexual encounter. And I think that some of that and those habits has also really helped my sex life with my partner, right? So my own sexual practices and like enjoying myself, and I think like really changing and developing in my sexual habits with myself has also positively impacted my sexual relationship with my partner.
Would you say that you have a high libido or a medium libido? Definitely not a low libido.
Not low, I'd say I'm medium to medium high. I don't think I'm a high libido in that, like, it wouldn't be common. Well, maybe that's not. I don't normally have the desire to ejaculate more than once per day. Right. So maybe as someone who's approaching 50, once per day might, maybe it is high, right? I have no idea how you define that, right? Or if the, what's
Yeah,
the
I'm not.
quantifiable number?
I don't know what the
No,
quantifiable
medium
is.
high.
Yeah. I was just wondering what you think you are.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe that's a great conversation to have with partners, right? But in my journey there, I found a website called Make Love Not Porn that I really enjoyed watching videos on. So it's user submitted. People submit their own videos, and I've toyed with submitting my own and submitted some videos there.
How did that
Yeah.
feel?
Oof. Wild, right? Like wildly sort of exciting and invigorating. Yeah, just the idea that people have actually clicked on them and watched them and enjoyed them, and it's super exciting.
Does it tell you how many people have watched, or do you get feedback from
Yeah,
people?
you get feedback. Not many people have watched, right? Like, I think watching a middle-aged man yank it solo isn't like the entire internet world's idea of a good time, but
Yeah,
it's
well,
there's a corner, of the internet where it's my idea of a good time.
Yeah, you're not alone. I mean, Rule 34, right? Like, if you can imagine it, there's already a porn site about it. Like, you would be surprised what people are into. Or maybe you wouldn't be. I don't know. Like, I find myself surprised. Of course, I don't demonstrate that, but I do occasionally find myself like, really? Okay. Well, that works for you, then that's great. Like, yay for you. So do you get the jolt when you post and then when you go back as well to see if people have watched it?
Oh yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
so it's like going back and like, I would say not many views, but the reception for the people that have viewed has been good, if
Yeah.
that
That totally makes sense.
sense.
And yeah, I
Yeah.
could see that being really appealing. When
Yeah.
you watch porn, you said you like to watch real people. Are you watching heterosexual man, woman, your average sort of penis and vagina sex?
Yeah, man, woman, female masturbation a lot. I would say that's probably over, yeah, 50%. I don't, porn ebbs and flows for me, right? But a lot of female masturbation. Yeah, male, female, sometimes threesome sort of like experiential fantasy stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
porn is really fun for that, right?
Yeah, obviously, right? That's kind of what it's there for.
Right. It's entertainment. It's
Yeah.
exactly what it's there for. Tell me more about what started this exhibitionism.
What started it? Well, really, I mean, to be completely honest, the thing that started it has been like sending my wife pictures, right? So like sending her pictures and videos and like honestly, I've made bunches of videos and I like put them on a file on this computer, and I don't know if the lady even watches it. It's very much sort of not like it's exciting for me to do it. It's thrilling for me to like make them and like put them in this folder and think that someday she might watch them. She doesn't even watch them.
She's like, I can have the
Yeah.
real thing later.
It's just kind of my own little mental fantasy over here, right?
Well, that is actually something that I prescribe, as if I were some sort of prescriber, but that I suggest for folks who are struggling in their relationships is a nice way to reconnect. And maybe she does occasionally go in and just be like, hey, what's happening over here? Let me get a little jolt in my afternoon
Yeah.
while you're out at work or whatever.
Yeah, and I think some of like in the world, right? Like putting your energy out into the world, part of that desire is for feedback, right? Like for somebody to be like, "Wow, it's Tuesday and you're a hot little piece of ass." Whatever it is, right? Like that's that's sort of the reciprocal dopamine kick I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's good that you're aware of that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the world were your oyster, if there were no restrictions and nobody else's personality mattered, right? So pure fantasy. What would your sexual world look like?
Probably my wife allowing one or two other people into her sex life broadly, whether that's together, separate with me, separate with, think I'm too hung up on being possessive, but I think being a little bit more open in our sex life, but in ways that felt safe. I mean, I think with my own sort of exhibitionism here, I would love it if my wife would make a video with me, right? But doubt that that would happen in the context of our relationship.
I mean, you never know. People do shift and change over time, and kids do grow up and one gets their life back, which, I mean, not for everybody, but certainly for me, helped a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, right. Okay. I'm not completely beholden to this other needy
Somebody else's
human.
schedule, yeah.
I think that's really lovely. And whether or not it actually happens, it's a fun place to think about.
I don't know where this little experiment now will go, right? And I don't know how that would either play into this as a positive way or a way that like could also potentially dismantle trust, right? In that my partner doesn't know that I've posted videos
Right.
at this stage of the game.
Right.
And I know, like, at different points in time, I've looked at the different, whatever framework, ethical non-monogamy, or, I don't think polyamory is really my playbook, but maybe if it was like more fixed partners, I could see a situation like that at some point being more interesting.
Yeah. Although the fun thing about ethical non-monogamy is that A, it's ethical, but B, there's a million different ways to approach it, right? Like there are swingers who only swap. There are swingers who go to a party and only see one person one time ever. And then there are people who have full-on polyamorous relationships with a household of 20 and like everything in between. So
Yeah.
It goes back to that, whatever works for you, and as long as you're communicating well. And I'm not trying to say that you need to start this by any stretch. I'm just, as your fantasy is playing out, you can play it out in any different kind of
Well,
way.
I do have a couple groups of like poly friends, and I would say in this day and age, I think that the household financial repercussions of polyamory are potentially really beneficial, sort of collectively joining household finances of a number of adults in ways that normalizes income across a group like that is huge. So some of the things that the households that I interact with are able to do is really fun.
Yeah, but their
Yeah.
Google calendars are a mess.
Oh, it's nuts.
Not to mention
Yeah.
group meetings. Oh my God.
As
Which
someone
are.
external trying to schedule dinner and then realizing that they need to go back and have a house meeting if I want to come over and have a cheeseburger.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that. There are pluses and minuses to everything.
No, we were trying to schedule something yesterday and my wife was on the phone and she was like, "This is why I only have one partner."
Right? There's definitely some advantages to that. On the
Yeah.
other end, there is also the nice, like, oh my God, can you believe he did that? Conversations that, you don't really want to just take out to random people in the
Yeah.
world. Yeah.
So what else do you want to know?
Trying to think of it.
I'm amazingly vanilla,
Yeah.
honestly. I think I'm a very physical person, but I'm really fucking vanilla.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I think in terms of this sexual, I don't know, the sexual world, right? Like, maybe I'm sensory seeking, but I don't want tons and tons of partners, right? In terms of like the kink world, I'm pretty fucking vanilla.
Okay, but so what does vanilla mean to you? So first of all, let me just go on my little rant about vanilla. Vanilla is an amazing spice and it is very important in all situations, especially when it comes to chocolate cake. Like it
It's a
tastes like shit.
homogenizer of flavors.
Yes, it's a flavor enhancer.
So vanilla in the I guess what it means is my sexual habits and preferences are pretty penis and vagina.
Gotcha.
Yeah, my sexual practices are heteronormative 90% of the time.
Have you experimented or thought about kinkier aspects?
I'd say sort of as kinky as I get is a little bit of like anal play. It's really like butt plug with a vibrator or
For you or her?
both, either way. Yeah, both are really enjoyable.
Yeah. Do you enjoy anal intercourse?
We've not gone there.
Fair enough.
I don't know that structurally, I don't know that we'd go there.
Fair enough. Is it something that you feel is lacking? Like, do you have a drive for it?
I don't think so. No,
Yeah.
it's not my driving desire.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what is your driving desire?
My desire is to be desired. That's the driving desire. I think that being middle-aged, being sort of a former athlete, for a lot of my life, my body looked like a magazine body, right? Like I've spent a lot of my life looking like a plastic porn person. And I'm aging into something different. I'm aging into a softer form. And some of this is really me coming to grips with that. And I think knowing that desire can be that visual thing, but there's also more complex roots to desire. So some of this is me playing with that edge of like finding sex appeal with some of that visual, but trying to get at something deeper as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Did you know that you were sexy when you were younger?
No, I had no fucking idea. Like, I had no idea.
Really? Like, not at all.
I don't think that I've had that. I don't think my self-esteem has been that good, right? And I think that a lot of that sort of, I've done an uncountable numbers of like sit-ups and leg lifts and crunches in my life, right? And like there's an aspect of that that was like to be an athlete, and there's also an aspect of that as vanity. Plenty of athletes don't have six-pack abs.
Right.
I did. Right? There's a piece of it was like, okay, like I'm working hard, I'm gonna work on this, and also like I'm just gonna sculpt my body a little bit, because when you have under 8% body fat, it's easier to do that. Right? Yeah, because there's nothing there. So you have protein and you work out a muscle and that muscle grows, right? And you're just like, oh, okay. Like, but then aging now, right? And I'd be like, okay, like I need to get rid of that fat to sort of be able to do that.
So, do you still work out?
I haven't worked out in 10 years.
Really?
No. Yeah.
I would have had no idea.
Yeah, like that's so my body now is really without exercise for 10 years.
Well, I mean, you, yeah, okay, not specific.
Like I walk.
Right. I mean, your
That's
job is kind of physical too. Like,
it. Yeah, I
yeah.
walk and I'm on my feet.
Yeah.
But sort of not nothing that is intentional exercise for about 10 years.
Wild.
So
Wild.
since I did my career change.
Did you, is there a place in time that you can point to where you knew that people found you attractive?
Yeah, I would say it really hit me in my early 30s, where I was like, okay, and I was also still a lot of that plasticky, six pack abs into my 30s. And I flaunted that a bit. I lived in New York City at the time, so
Why not?
why not? Yeah, and like, I mean, people I would be with would comment sometimes that like, yeah, I wore short shorts. I was a former cyclist, so I showed off my legs a lot,
Again, I
which
say,
was a
why not?
blast. Yeah,
Yeah. And
and like looking at it, like I was doing that intentionally, right? You know, there's threads of my current deviations that have a history.
yeah, but you were probably not so self-aware at that point in your
No,
early 30s.
not at all.
Yeah, it's amazing how much we keep continuing to grow. Like, I frequently find myself going, wow, that's really fascinating that I have this awareness. Why didn't I have this awareness, whatever, a week
Well,
ago, 6 years ago, whatever it is?
they
And
call that wisdom.
right.
Wisdom is awareness before its time.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good. Are there things that we didn't talk about that you want to be sure we talk about?
No, this is a fun adventure for me, my first podcast.
Yay! That's so cool.
Thank you.
So I like to ask everybody one final question, which is a little bit odd in this particular format, but what excites you?
Titties. Titties excite me. And also my child. I'm a father, and spending time with my child is really exciting.
Yeah, that's super cool. But now I want to ask, I'm going to ask anyway, what kind of titties? Do you have a preference?
You know, this is something that's changed in life, right? I think that earlier in life, I wasn't as much of a titty person. I was more of an ass man, but a couple experiences in my early 20s, I really started to admire C cups. My wife now has really big titties. She's like 32 double F,
Wow.
which is a blessing and a curse when your breasts are that size, because breasts
Yeah.
that size are not without liability. But
No, she must have horrible back problems.
yeah, they're fun on my end of the equation.
Right. Hard for her to find clothes
Yeah,
that
so I think that
fit.
also in relationships, something that's interesting is like really, I've become more and more attracted to my wife over time, and more attracted to her body and what her body has grown into over time. So my own personal attractions have really grown to find her to be more and more physically attractive over time,
That's
which is pretty
really
fucking
beautiful.
amazing.
Yeah.
Right, like I think we joked about this over text, right? But we've both gained weight in our relationship, and in a lot of ways I find my wife sexier than I did in the beginning.
Yeah.
I found her attractive in the beginning, but I find her sexier now.
I love that. I really,
Yeah.
really love that. And it speaks volumes to who you are as a person, too. So I just want to throw that in there. This has been phenomenal. I cannot
Cool.
wait to put it out there.
Oh,
It's
fun.
super, super fun. I hope you enjoyed that. If you are interested in doing one with me, I would love to talk with you. Please come by the website and hit the talk to me button and let me know, or you can send me an email to gwyn@earthlydesire.com. I am completely off script at the moment. I've had COVID, and so writing an intro and outro is just one more step that I could not get through. Whereas if I just turn on the mic and babble, here we are. So here we are. I feel like I should be telling you all sorts of things. I don't know what they are because I didn't write it down, but I want to make sure that this gets out on time. So instead of the enemy being, no, wait, how does that go? Right, perfect being the enemy of good. I was like, nope, I'm just gonna roll. Hopefully, I'll get something useful out of this. Yeah, I don't know. Come visit the website, whatexcitesus.com. I've got some new coaching things in the works, so stay tuned for that. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you'd like to come on and talk with me. Yeah, other than that, I think I'm good. Thanks so much for listening. Y'all are truly the best. If you enjoy this, please tell one friend. We can spark that conversation and keep it going. Help heal the world. Tiny little things like that. And until then, don't forget that you are loved, because I love you. You rock.